First lesson for today is from the second chapter of Kings. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other. And Elisha went over. Our second lesson for today is from Luke chapter 9. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. And on their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, Follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Someone asked me as I came into the church today as to whether or not I had my walk today. It's Sunday. I did do my exercises this morning, but I did not do a walk. I did not do my hike yet today. Now, health professionals are telling us these days that a walk, a hike, is good for us. They tell us that if we carve out 30 minutes five times a week, if we walk for 150 minutes out of our week, our bodies will thank us, our hearts will feel better, and if you're a diabetic, chances are it will improve your numbers. Taking a walk is something that you can do by yourself. You don't need any equipment. You can tell a friend that you're doing this and they can encourage you along the way. And or you can walk with your spouse or a friend, and or you could walk with your dog. The Old Testament lesson for today tells us about a walk that Elijah and Elisha went on, and it would be the last walk that they would have together. And as Elisha walked with Elijah, his master, it was as though the character of Elijah was so on the surface. For Elisha knew that his master Elijah was a man who was holy in the sense that his relationship with God was number one in his life. He tried to emulate, he tried to copy the kind of attributes or the kind of qualities that God has. And so he tried to be the kind of guy who was just. He was fair. He did what was right. And he not only saw that God was almighty, but that God is also vulnerable, which means that God is compassionate and God is loving and God is merciful. And this is the kind of person that Elijah tried to be. But Elijah was also a very human person. He had his highs and lows like we all do. He called down fire upon the sacrifices of the Baal gods. He raised a little boy to life. He had some real significant highs, but he also had times in which he was depressed. He was down. The stories of Elijah tell us that he goes from Dan to Beersheba, which was the extreme northern parts of Israel and the extreme southern parts of Israel, out of fear for Jezebel, the queen. But he knew that the highs of our spiritual life are often visited also by the downs of our life. But he took that ups and the downs seriously, and he went often into the desert on a retreat, if you will, to discover God anew. So Elisha also knew that Elijah, his master, was also a man who had a hunger for God. You notice the H's with which I'm working. Holy, human, and now hunger. But he had a hunger for God. As Psalm 42 says, as the hart or as the deer pants for streams of living water. Can you picture that in your mind's eye? The deer running through the woods, stops at the creek, has a gentle drink. And that's how it was that Elijah sort of panted. He hungered, he thirsted for a more acute relationship with God. The fourth H is hope. Elijah was also a man of hope. Hope and providence often go together. And in my ministry, I've had the privilege of serving a church that called themselves Providence. And I was also a member of one that called itself Hope. And providence and hope always go together in terms of when you look back over your life, as Elijah did. He could see that God was present here and God was present there. And as he looked back, he knew that God had provided very generously for him. And that's the great belief about providence. Is that as we look back on our lives, we can say, God opened this door, God opened that door, God led me here, God led me there. And the relationship between providence and hope is that as God has provided for us in the past, our faith says is that God will lead us into the future. God will lead us with hope. And as they walked together, on this last walk that they would have together, Elijah knew that it would probably be better if Elisha just stayed back somewhere. But Elisha says, no, I'm committed to you. I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. And as they walked and as they talked, suddenly Elijah disappeared into a whirlwind, and verse 11 tells us that God took him to heaven. And at the same time, Elisha has this vision of the chariots of fire and the horsemen of Israel. So technically, according to the text, the swing low, sweet chariot didn't carry Elijah to heaven. The whirlwind did. But as Elisha experiences this vision, he calls out and he says, my father, the chariots of fire and the horsemen of Israel, as though he were saying that Elijah had always been in his life and the character that he exhibited, that he himself had been the chariots of fire and the horsemen of Israel. I don't know if we always look at it quite like that or not, because the old African American song invites us and the sweet, low, sweet chariot to come and carry us home. And home for them, as pointed out not only in the footnote of the hymn From Glory to God, but also in a interestingly new book that just came out a couple of weeks ago called Songs of America by Meacham and McGraw, tells us that when the slaves sang Sweet Low Sweet Chariot, they were singing not only that God through Jesus Christ would eventually take them home, but that God would lead them into the free states beyond the Mason-Dixon, where the states were free and where they could have their freedom and their new life. But as Elisha cries out, my father, the chariots of fire and the horsemen of Israel, he is saying that Elijah was the nation's defense. So that instead of thinking of the chariots in a physical kind of way, and these Israelites knew that the chariots of Assyria, they're full, that these chariots were big enough to hide a particular soldier along with the driver of the chariot, so that when they engaged in battle, there was a surprise. The Israelite faced not only one soldier, but he faced two soldiers. And what Elisha was saying, that the real defense of Israel had been Elijah, the prophet. That he had been a man of character. And it was his character through which God worked to preserve the nation of Israel in a very bad time. Now, this week is the 4th of July. And we all think about our own nation's defense, a nation that has nuclear missiles and warheads and armaments. And yet we, as a Christian faith community, ask the question, in whom or in what is our real defense? It's interesting, I think, how this particular story has been picked up in various ways. In 1982, there was a movie called Chariots of Fire. It was the story of Harold Abrams and Eric Liddell, who were British runners in the 1924 Olympics. They were both godly men. They went to church on Sundays and believed that Sunday was the Sabbath day and one should not compete on the Sabbath day. And so Eric Liddell, the great runner, sat out and he worshiped God that day. Kind of quaint, perhaps, in today's way of living and how we do Sundays. But he sat out. His next chance to compete was not doing the 100 meter, but he competed in the 400 meter, and he won gold for Britain in 1924. And Eric loved to say, "When I run, I feel the pleasure of God." That's a great line. And I wonder if he meant that when he ran, because he didn't run on the Sabbath, but he ran on another day, that he felt the pleasure of God because he had been obedient in terms of keeping the Sabbath day. Now, I suppose that's one way of looking at it. It certainly is a way that we probably wouldn't choose to interpret that way, because how we look at Sunday these days is pretty much like any other day. It's a day, if you work all week, why, you go to the big box stores on Sunday, you grocery shop on Sunday. And I'm not being critical of that, but what I am saying is that we need to find the rhythm that God inserted in his great creation story, in which he created things in 6 days, however long those days may have been, but he rested on the seventh day. And it's that cycle of work and leisure, of rest, that we probably have lost at our own peril. We just don't get it as to how important it is for our human bodies to rest. I mean, rest, leisure, is one of God's really good gifts to us. And we mustn't flaunt it. We need to integrate that into healthy lives. But I suppose another way of understanding what Eric Liddell meant when he said, When I run, I feel the pleasure of God. And that is that he knew that his real gift was running. He was a runner. And we all believe that this is the season of Pentecost in the church. We have celebrated a couple of weeks ago the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I had the privilege that Sunday of preaching up at Crossroads up in Mequon about how the Spirit comes as our guide, our counselor, and our comforter. And the Holy Spirit has given us, each of us, certain gifts, things that we're really good at. I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's singing, because you sing so beautifully. You play the guitar so well. Gifts to be affirmed and celebrated so that when you sing, I feel the pleasure of God. Sometimes I think when I preach, I feel the pleasure of God. I don't know who brought the goodies today for after the service, but chances are we'll all say, wow, they're good. Someone who has the gift of hospitality and baking, perhaps, when you're running your mixer and getting all the ingredients together, your joy is in your soul, and you say, when I bake, I feel the pleasure of God. Well, a sermon here is called a discussion starter. So let's pause now for a moment, for a minute. Just think about some of the things that you've heard me say today.